Hi, Hunt Harvest Health community. This is a little bit of plug for the Stealthy Hunter Hunt Harvest Health swag. We finally got our first pre-orders in, our shipment in, and yesterday we had our first shipment go out to you guys. So if you pre-ordered shirts and hats, they should be to you very, very soon. We're really excited this week because on top of getting a brand new kitchen and basically a brand new house due to this flood that you'll hear about in this podcast that we had in our house. We got our first shipment of swag and we've been working on this design. And if you have a business and those of you out there who do t-shirts and hats and all this stuff, boy, it is just not an overnight process. It takes time, it takes creativity, it takes getting the right people, it takes finances, it takes so much like creative intention to get these things done and actually get them in our hands. And when we did that this week and we opened the box and we saw our t-shirts and our tanks and our hats, we were so excited because they look amazing. We've been asked for, we've been doing this almost a year. In December, it'll be a year. And since day one, people are like, when are you going to get your hats? When are you going to get your shirts? We're like, what? We just got a website. We just figured out a logo. What's all this stuff? So now we have our first set of swag. And I think that anybody will like to wear it. It's so cool looking. I love the women's tank. I think it just looks amazing. It's got one of our new logos on the back, and then the design team did an excellent job of the Hunt Harvest Health on the front with the deer. You can kind of see through the letters. It's so cool. And the hats are great. And so it's been an exciting week for us. So if you haven't ordered your Hunt Harvest Health swag, make sure to do so. You can get a discount if you go to our website, huntharvesthealth.com, and sign up for our newsletter. There's a bunch of places on the website. You can sign up for the newsletter. You're going to immediately get an email that's going to come to you with a promo code in it. And here's the deal. If you don't get the email in your inbox, it's sitting in your spam or it's sitting in your promotions tab on Gmail. They've just been filtering out emails. So make sure to check those places before you email me. And then you'll get your discount code. And then you can get your first order. You can get a t-shirt for your girlfriend. You can get a tank top for your girlfriend. You can get your own t-shirt. You can get three different styles of hats: brown, camo, black. So go and check out our swag. Help support us here at huntharvesthealth.com so we can keep bringing amazing content. And we have so many cool things hopefully coming up in the next year for you guys. We're really excited about it. Check out huntharvesthealth.com/swag and thank you for your support.
Welcome to Food Friday here on the Hunt Harvest Health Podcast, where we dish out food topics, recipes, and answer your questions related to food, food prep, and nutrition. Find our recipes and tips on our website at huntharvesthealth.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hunt Harvest Health. Today is a Food Friday. It has been a very interesting few weeks, actually a few months for us here in the Stealthy Hunter household. Just last night, Ryan actually left for elk season here in Washington, archery elk season. So I'm guessing right now it's Friday morning. He's likely hiking. I think he started hiking last night. So he's probably full on in the mountains right now, starting his hunt. And I'm kind of sad about it because this year we had talked about possibly me going in the backcountry with him on his elk hunt. Just because this time of year, I think the weather is a little bit nicer traditionally, not always. I know last year his elk hunt, he basically spent up to, I think it was 7 or 8 days in downpouring rain, just being soaked the whole time. And I looked at the weather. We have had literally months without rain. We had a day of rain last week. But here for the Pacific Northwest, that is so rare. But it looks like we're going to start getting rain tomorrow for the next week. So he may be in the high country rain like he was last year. But I thought maybe September would be a good time. But when we planned it, I didn't think about the fact that my older daughter was going to be going back to school and kind of the commitment with having kids and school starting and getting childcare for somebody to kind of do all those chores for us. You know, we do have a little bit of family help, but we've had some family situations also come up in Ryan's side of the family where we can't really depend on his parents. And then my mom doesn't live close. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to go with him this week for his elk hunt. And I was kind of down about it because I really felt like I needed some time away and I needed to get away from the kids and get away from the last couple months of craziness that we've had going on around here. But as you all know, you know, this is Ryan's deal. This is what he lives for. So, you know, he schedules these things out and I've always worked around my schedule around that too as well. So perhaps on another one this year, I'll be able to get out, but I think we just need to plan it better. We just need to think more like we have kids. Sometimes we still talk to each other like we don't have children and we could just kind of do whatever we want. And then and reality sets in. So he's on his elk hunt right now. Think good thoughts for him and him being safe and having some good luck up there. Today, I kind of woke up and I was like, geez, we need to do a Food Friday and we need to talk about food. And I think with the craziness that we've had in our life this summer, I feel like we've somewhat neglected Food Friday. And we've also, if you go to our website, I will say I've completely neglected the recipes page since the beginning of summer. And that's because in early July, just kind of randomly, our dishwasher broke. And I thought that was kind of weird, but I didn't think anything of it about, you know, for a couple of weeks, you're busy and you don't get to it. And so one day I decided I was going to take it out and see what was going on and maybe have the maintenance man come look at it. And I pulled the dishwasher out and there was water under the dishwasher. Huh, interesting. And we had laminate in the kitchen and I started to pull the laminate out. And sure enough, there had been some sort of slow leak that had gone under our laminate. And it had been seeping into the kitchen floor, into the subfloor, down into the crawl space. And it kind of just been doing this for we don't really know for how long. And the drywall had soaked it up and everything. And so that kind of started our summer journey of having to have our entire kitchen ripped out, our sink ripped out, our floors ripped out. And that meant we had literally half of a kitchen. They left our stove up for us and stuff, but we literally had half of a kitchen for almost all of the summer. We were doing dishes in our bathtub, sometimes on the back porch. And luckily, like I said, this summer, we got a warm summer, which is sometimes really rare, and it barely rained. So we were really fortunate that we could put our stuff on our deck, which is just right off our kitchen, and we were able to kind of live on our back deck. But that makes it very hard when you're trying to do recipes and cook and experiment. And I just found that I got kind of overconsumed by that, as well as, you know, life, having a job, having kids, summer activities, and just kind of let the recipes go by the wayside. That doesn't necessarily mean that we weren't creating recipes and we weren't cooking, because we do a lot of that. Our insurance had told us that they would pay for a certain percentage of eating out if we were going to eat out. Ryan and I just don't like to eat out. We just don't like it. So we found ways not to eat out that much and we are still cooking. But I will say that I think just based on the room that I had and the arrangement, not only did they rip the floors out in our kitchen, but because we had the same flooring throughout our entire lower level, we had to purge everything. They were actually going to replace the flooring in the entire lower house, which is amazing. And we had to move all of our stuff about 2 weeks ago. The contractors are going to come finish all the work, which means over the last month, I've had to be purging the house and moving everything out of the lower level. And then last week, we had to stay in an Airbnb for the entire week. And everything was moved out of the house, brought upstairs or into the garage or into our trailer. And that was a huge undertaking. And then the kitchen was completely ripped out. and everything was redone. So we were able to move back into the house last weekend. And I finally, after 2 months, had a functioning sink. And we're still putting stuff together. It's kind of a slow process, but I'm looking at all these things we've done and recipes that we put together. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I really need to start putting those on the website. The one thing that we have done, which we do every year, and Ryan's really faithful at it, is even without a sink, we did a ton of canning and a ton of dehydration. Our garden, of course, was producing at its highest. You know, this is the peak season for garden production, and we have no functioning kitchen. So it really takes you back to that, this whole thing that maybe we talk about, you know, being more sustainable and closer to the earth. And wow, when you don't have these simple things that we take for granted, like a kitchen sink, when you're canning, when you're dehydrating and you have to harvest all these vegetables and wash them and slice them, chop them, and you only literally have a countertop that is about 2 feet of countertop. And then we were putting up tables in the kitchen so we could, you know, do stuff on that. But we did do a ton of canning, and we kind of committed to each other that we were going to create this dehydration and canning ebook for folks that, you know, we get a lot of questions about this stuff and our recipes and what we do. So we've also been working on that. So saying that we didn't have a kitchen and we weren't getting anything done isn't really what I'm saying. It's just that I've been more productive in just trying to create things for the canning and dehydration book, as well as, you know, feeling kind of overwhelmed by all the other stuff that's going on. So I appreciate you guys kind of hanging with us this summer and understanding sometimes life just takes a different turn. You know, Hunt Harvest Health has really been a blessing in our life. It has, it's changed us. It's changed even the way we are in our life and the way our relationship is. It's changed our family. And we hope that it's changing you and that it's helping you to become healthier. And, you know, becoming healthier equals there's a lot of roadblocks. And we discovered that this summer with just this one little thing. You know, how do you get more self-sufficient? How do you get smarter? How do you work smarter? And sometimes just with life, you know, you have to kind of pick and choose how much energy you have. And to me, I love working on Hunt Harvest Health and I love contributing to this community and doing what I can. But sometimes you just get overwhelmed and you're like, I can't do 5 recipes a week this week. It's just not going to happen. So I'm sitting here. My kids are downstairs giving me some space and I'm having a cup of Stealthy Coffee from Dark Timber. And I'm going to share a little bit. I had a number of questions this summer about a certain food that Ryan grows a ton of in our garden and that we use a lot. And I think is an amazing food, and it's beets. I think early on in the summer, I got a Facebook question from somebody who was like, okay, I bought some beets because I know beets are healthy for me, but I have no idea what to do with beets. Like, how do you cook them? How do they taste good? I don't think I've really liked them in the past. Just help me out. What do you do with beets? And so I thought maybe what I would share today is a little bit about beets and what we like about beets and some of the historical background and then some of the medical background that I think, you know, food is medicine and we really want to promote that. So getting to know your food and what it's doing for your body when you're eating it is kind of an amazing way to connect with yourself. And, you know, some people don't like beets. I get it. Beets, they need to be cooked right. They need to be cooked right. Beets are very earthy. You know, they are a root vegetable. So the main part of the beet, the root that you're going to be eating is growing in the dirt. And it does have that very earthy taste. And some people don't like that. A lot of people say eating beets equals eating dirt. And I totally get that. So I think having some recipes in your arsenal to cook beets in a different way, especially ones that maybe even your kids will eat, and is super cool. So let's talk a little bit. Let's first start with the beet itself. And the main beet that we know of and that we grow, the garden beet, is also called the red beet. And it's, you know, that deep red purple color. It has the green leaves that grow off of it. There's different varieties of the red beet. You'll get some with the white stripes in them. You'll get some leaves that are red, while some others are really green. And so those are just different varieties of beets. But the main beets that people are growing in their garden are called the red beet. Now, if you've ever heard, there's some other beets that are notorious for like sweeteners. So that would be when you think of like sugar beets. Sugar beets are grown basically to produce beet sugar. So they're sweet. They're very sweet beets. And most people are not cultivating sweet beets in their garden. They're mainly cultivating the red beet. White beet roots were and have been used by Europeans as far back as the Romans. But mainly those things are fed to cattle and livestock. I don't think a lot of people are necessarily growing those as well in their garden. They have that kind of fleshy and thin skin on them, smooth skin. And obviously, the leaves too are very colorful and very, and you can eat the leaves. The leaves are like a green. We love beet greens. So a great way to cook your, you know, eat your beets is to eat your beet greens with them. And we'll talk about that in a second. Let's see. The red, deep red color. So sometimes you'll look on foods and you'll look and like the food coloring is actually beet color, because you know, if you get beet juice on stuff, it's really hard to get out. It stains, and they've used it for tie-dye. And so it's got that very purple red pigment to it. And that comes from a characteristic of what's called an anthocyanin, which is, it's called a beta cyanin. And anthocyanins are, you find those in kind of the deep, dark red and purple vegetables and fruits. So beets would be one. Berries, all the berries are really high in anthocyanins. And these are just a class of antioxidants that kind of help to vessel support. And they help blood circulation, the cardiovascular system, those kinds of things. So anything that kind of deep red, purple, you want to think of cardiovascular system. Let's see. So again, when you're cooking the red beet, you're probably going to clip those leaves off. And then what I like to do is there's a few different ways. Is you can peel the beet. If you don't like that earthy dirt taste, you need to peel it. Getting the peel off is really important if you don't like that. We like to slice our beets up and then put them in a baking dish with a little bit of water in the bottom for steaming. Then I add some olive oil. You can even do coconut oil, depending on the flavor you're looking for. And then some salt, and just throw them covered in the oven and cook them until they're nice and tender. That's kind of the, for us, the best way. You can also blanch them or like boil them. So you peel them, slice them up, and then boil them, and then you kind of have a softer beet. Sometimes you can use them in salads. So in the height of summer, when beets are fresh, they're really tender. I mean, you can almost eat them raw. And some people are definitely not going to like that, but you can eat them raw. So what I like to do is I just take a julienne tool and I just julienne them and I put them in my salads. The other way that we eat a lot of beets in our house and allows us to eat beets really throughout the year is we can them. We pickle them. And Ryan, let's say in the last few weeks, he's done numerous jars of pickled beets, and we'll have that recipe in the ebook that's going to be coming out hopefully in the next 2 weeks. That's our goal. But we do a lot of canning of beets because he grows a lot of beets. I'm not quite sure why he grows so many. You know, sometimes people will talk about, you know, like spirit animals and all these, like a spirit vegetable. Like there's certain vegetables Ryan really likes to grow. He likes to grow lots of it. He likes to grow lots of kale. He likes to grow lots of beets. This year, he did tons of rutabagas. I don't even know how we would eat all those rutabagas. You know, we're giving them away left and right. And then I would say onions and tomatoes. You know, those are kind of the things, but he grows tons of beets. And canning them is the best way to preserve them. And then pickling them also too, because pickling, you don't necessarily have to do a pressure canner. You can just do a little bit of a water bath and it's in vinegar. And the pickled beets are so amazing. I think we have a recipe on our website with the pickled beets. It's a salad with the pickled beets in it. And then our crispy onions that are also dehydrated on that salad. And those are the best. That's my favorite way to eat the beets. But if you're going to cook beets, like I said, and you want to eat the greens with it. So here's the thing with a vegetable. You know, I think as Americans, we we think about like, what's the thing we're going to eat? We're going to throw everything else away. It doesn't have any nutritional value. And everything has nutritional value. You can actually eat the tops of carrots and you think about like, ooh, why would I want to do that? Well, there's this idea that like, if you think of the top of a carrot, it has, you know, all these fine little leaves. And they say that the leaves of carrots help the nervous system. Well, if you look at the leaves, they kind of look like nerves. They look like the nerve pathways throughout the body. They're fine. There's a bunch of them spitting off and stuff. So, you know, this is kind of the same thing with beet greens, is that the greens are edible as well. Now, here's a few cautions when you're eating greens, especially like, you know, this goes to spinach, any heavy green food. There's oxalates in those greens. And some people are like, oh, I can't eat those. My doctor told me not to eat oxalates. Now, there are medications, if you're on medications and you don't want calcium blockage to happen, like osteoporosis medications, definitely you don't want to be eating a ton of oxalates in your diet, because what oxalates do is they bind calcium and then you eliminate it. So you don't absorb the calcium. And, but most people are not eating enough of these like beet greens to be doing that. But you want to be cautious. If you're eating 3 or 4 spinach salads a day and you're eating other greens all day long and you're taking, you know, and you're taking a calcium supplement or you're taking one of these osteoporosis medications, my advice is just don't eat those foods when you take your medication. So if you're going to take your medication in the morning, don't eat a bunch of spinach and greens in the morning. Eat your spinach and greens later in the day. But also don't eat a ton, because we don't want that calcium bindage. But most people are realistic about this. So if you're eating, taking the beet greens and you've roasted those beets out of the oven, you can chop up the beet greens just like a salad kind of thing. You can throw them kind of towards the end of the beet root being cooked. Throw them in there with a little olive oil and salt again, and it will steam and roast those greens with the beets. And then you can add a little feta cheese, sunflower seeds, that's kind of how I mix it up in there. It's so good. So eating the top of the plant with the root of the plant, great way to get all the benefits of that food. The other thing I think that's a pretty like common recipe for beets is borscht. I spent some time in Russia working there. Ryan spent quite a bit of time in Russia working. And borscht is kind of a staple soup. Wherever you go in Russia, there's borscht. And at the hospital that I worked at, you know, we had meals prepared for us and stuff. And like borscht was a common meal on the menu. And so I'll throw a borscht recipe up on the website as well, so you can have that. And it's a great way to kind of bring in the beets. You're also going to get other things like cabbage, carrots, celery, onions, all those good things. It's a great stew. And for this time of year with those beets that you have, or if you're buying beets at the farmer's market or the store, borscht is a great soup to make. And it tends to have a little bit of sweetness to it. And so children like it. So I'll throw a borscht recipe up on the website as well. Let's talk a little bit about the healing quality of beets. There's a book, so I've got a few books that I'll always reference, and I'll have these on the website on our Amazon link. These, you know, I have books that I really like on there. And one book that I have used forever, it's kind of a staple in my household, is called Healing with Whole Foods. And it's a book by Paul Pitchford. It talks about different groups of foods and how they heal the body. It comes from a Chinese medicine perspective. And so I really like to refer to this book for how food is going to help us medicinally. He talks a lot about beets. You know, they are neutral in nature, so they're not too extreme one way or the other, kind of that earthy. If you think of earth is very grounding, calming, heavy. But it's not like wind or, you know, air that's really floaty. It's kind of grounded and neutral. And so it's got sweet flavor. And these things help to strengthen the heart, calm the spirit. So maybe that means, you know, calming erratic behavior or anxiety or any of these nervous system things, kind of help to calm you down. Improve circulation, purifying the blood. It helps the liver. So when we prescribe beet to people, I always say it's a great liver food. The cells in your liver, your hepatocytes, they love beets. It's very cleansing and detoxifying, so it's great for the liver, moistens the intestines, and in women, it promotes menstruation. So if you have women that are having irregular periods, you can try using beets as a food. Remember, these are foods, and so they are lower force, and they have a bigger therapeutic window, and so they take time to work. But that's really what you should be thinking of your food as anyways, is medicine. And again, back to the liver, it helps with lots of different problems with the liver, and then as well as constipation. So if somebody is having a lot of dryness and constipation, they can't go to the bathroom, beets is a great way to moisten the intestines, help the liver dump a bunch of stuff, and then help you go to the bathroom, which we've talked about a bunch on this podcast. And then it can also help with nervousness and congestion of your cardiovascular system. And if you've ever eaten beets, which a lot of you probably have, you notice that after you eat it, when you have your bowel movement, the next few bowel movements, you have like, sometimes people freak out and they think they're bleeding because they have a bowel movement and it's like red in the toilet. They're like, what's wrong with me? And so I always ask, had you eaten beets in the last 12 hours? Sometimes depending on transit time for people, 24 hours. They're like, oh yeah, I did. Well, that's what it is. And you can see that in the stool. It has that pink tinge to it. Also, some people will get pink urine. And again, they think they're bleeding. They think they have some kind of problem. But you don't need much pigment in there to see that. And so the beet will also go into the urine and give you pink urine. So some people will get that as well. So not to panic over that. And so I think beets are a great vegetable to kind of help with your liver, help you cleanse, help your intestines, and just move through. Now, beets are kind of sweet. You're not eating sweet beets like they're doing, you know, in beet factories for sugar. So you're not necessarily eating that, but they are sweeter in nature. So, you know, eating a ton of beets is also going to mean you're getting a little bit more sugar. So I think that's nice balance of the beet is it does taste kind of earthy and dirty. So you don't want to eat a ton of them. But let me tell you, if you make Ryan's pickled beets, you will seriously want to sit down and eat an entire jar. So watch out. We did a recipe while we were canning one day. We like to do that. We just kind of experiment with everything while we're cutting things up. And I have this great cookbook. I have it on the website. It's called Dishing Up the Dirt. And it's by a gal named Andrea Bemis. I'm not sure how you say her last name. But she has a CSA farm in Oregon, and her husband. And they, you know, basically their career is to grow healthy food for folks like you to go to the farmer's market and buy, which I think is so commendable because for any of you out there who are farmers of any sort, farming is hard work. And especially small farms and especially small organic farms, it is really like from dusk to dawn and 365 days a year, especially when you have a CSA or something where you have to produce all of your income for the next, you know, your season has to produce enough for all these people who have bought into your CSA. So it can be very stressful. In the winter, you may not be working, but you're always planning and you're always stressing and you're always hoping that Mother Nature is going to be kind to you and is going to help you to produce these crops so that you can sell them. And so I mean, living that lifestyle is so commendable. And we do that on a very small scale in our household with growing a garden. And you can do that too. But when you're doing it on a large scale, you know, even a small, large scale like they do, it's just so much work. So giving these people their due respect to produce these healthy foods is, I think, is a great service. So this gal has so many amazing recipes in her book, Dishing Up the Dirt. And one of them is she loves beets. She does talk about beets and the spirit vegetable and that, you know, beets are like a ton of work for her, but every year when she picks them, she just falls in love with them. So she has a ton of beet recipes in her book. And it's a seasonal book, so it's broken up into, what I love about it is it's broken up into spring, summer, winter, fall, and winter. So she has recipes for kind of every season of the year based on a little bit of what they're growing and what they've preserved and what's in season. And she has a recipe in here one day. We were like, we wanted a dip. You know, we wanted to make some kind of dip because we had like crackers and carrots and stuff. And so I looked at this book and she has a recipe called beet butter. And it's super simple, but the thing was is that we didn't really have some of the things she had in our in her recipe. And you'll find that, like, you'll have things and you want to make something and you don't do it because you don't have everything. So sometimes when it comes to like baking, or I don't know, you know, if you're going to bake muffins, you're going to do stuff like that, sometimes you do need everything. But when you're some things like sauces and stuff, you can improvise and you can substitute. And we kind of live, we don't live very close to a grocery store. So for us to go just buy one thing at the grocery store, it could be like a 30-minute drive or more. So it's just not really worth it. So we were looking at this recipe and it calls for 3 beets, which we could easily do, macadamia nuts, a walnut oil, pure maple syrup, vanilla, and a pinch of sea salt. Those all seem pretty easy, but I mean, we don't have macadamia nuts laying around, and we didn't have walnut oil. And so we were like, what could we use in place of it? So Ryan was like, well, why don't we try using almonds? Cause we had sliced almonds. And then why don't we just try using coconut oil? Cause we always have a ton of coconut oil. And I said, okay. So we came up with, and then we also, let's see, we did not have any maple syrup. If you can believe that, Ryan taps his trees in the spring and we have maple syrup, but we're out because we didn't get that much this spring. And maple syrup is so expensive to buy. I don't always buy it. So we didn't have any maple syrup. So what we did is we just did it without the sweetener. And what we ended up doing was we made one. I don't know what hers tastes like. I'm sure it's awesome. But the one we made was so good and it was so sweet. And I think it's because of the coconut oil. And so this was our recipe. This recipe will be on the website. You can go there, see a picture of it, and then you can also see all the ingredients and what you need. Andrea's book is on our website as well, on the Amazon link. If you want to check out her book, Dishing Up the Dirt, do that. There's so many cool recipes in there. So what we used was 3 to 4 beets. We peeled them, and then we chunked them up, and then we boiled them. So we did boil them and for about 15 to 20 minutes, like her recipe says. And then we kind of set them aside and let them cool off. And then we took 2 tablespoons of melted coconut oil, which this year it's been pretty hot. So our coconut oil has actually been melted in our kitchen. Usually it's not. We have to melt it. But that. And then we did 1 cup of sliced almonds. So if you're going to use whole almonds, you probably want to chop them up pretty good. You're going to put it on the food processor, so it doesn't really matter. But sometimes if you throw a bunch of whole almonds in with all the other ingredients, it just stays too chunky. And then 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and then a pinch of sea salt. And what we did is that we combined that along with the beets in our food processor, and we processed it until it was basically smooth. And then if it was still a little bit warm, we let it cool off a bit, put it in a bowl, and then we just like ate it with carrots and crackers, anything that we had. I was eating it by the spoonful. I mean, it is so good. So it's a great dip to have. You can make a bunch, you can put it in the fridge. And we did that. We call it the sweet beet butter because it was really sweet, I think, because of that little bit, that mixture of the vanilla and the coconut oil. So that's an easy beet recipe where you get beets in you, your kids might even eat it, and you get all those good antioxidants. So I think that's kind of it for beets. Beets can be confusing and they can be a little scary for people, but they're really, really a very healthy root vegetable that you should be adding into your diet. Look for the recipes for the sweet beet butter as well as borscht on our website. And look for our dehydration and canning guide that's going to be coming out. Keep your eyes open for that. And what's going to be in that is basically recipes that we've made. So this season, like all the vegetables and fruit that we've harvested from our yard, the recipes that we've made, as well as herbs and mushrooms and kind of everything, edible plants in our area. We also have some meat recipes on there. And so everything is kind of from our life, and I think it can kind of go straight across the board. If you do have a garden or if you don't, it's all very simple. But the cool thing about it is I've added a healing properties section or a healing foods library to it, so that all the foods that we're going to talk about in the recipes I'll actually give you a little bit of background on that food as well as the healing properties of that food. So that's going to be added in. So it's kind of like a healing foods library along with the dehydration and canning recipes. So watch for that. I think that's it for today's Food Friday. As always, if you have any questions, you can DM us on Instagram at Harvest Health. You can email us at lampers@stealthyhunter.com. And you can find the show notes for this as well as all the recipes at huntharvesthealth.com. All right, everybody, have a wonderful weekend. Good luck out there on your seasonal elk hunts. And we appreciate your support. As always, take care.
Hey, folks. Thanks for listening to the Hunt Harvest Health podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit our website at huntharvesthealth.com for more podcast stories and recipes. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Hunt Harvest Health. You can also message me at stahealthyhunter, that's STH, and I will be more than happy to answer any questions you might have. Also tag your photos, Hunt Harvest Health, or Get Stealthy, as we enjoy seeing what you guys are doing as well.